Yo, fun guy.
Yeah.
How hungry are you, bro?
Very.
Bro, I know you have been eating very healthy all year long. Yeah. And you try to take care of your body, right?
Definitely.
But now you are an NBA champion.
Mm-hmm.
What is the worst junk food you cannot wait to eat?
Yeah.
I'm just drinking alcohol and eating desserts all the time.
Yeah, NBA Strayer. Hey, yeah, that's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It is Wednesday, June 19. And I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and who's doing it better. The new Pelican Lonzo Ball in the NBA offseason today. How about LaMelo Ball? I don't know. Anyway, we're breaking down, wrapping up all the NBA action that you need to know about while repping Australia just a little bit, mate. It's what we do. And the NBA offseason has not technically started, really, but it most definitely has started. So we've got a heap of news about Al Horford, the Boston Celtics, the Lakers, Kyrie and the Nets, Kevin Love, some drama in Houston, and of course the NBL. Jeez, unreal. We've also got an unpopular opinion of the day, and we've got a flame grill take from Outback Takehouse. And with the NBA draft on Friday, that's right, it's this week, it's in like a day and a bit. It's our completely uninformed, unhinged second mock draft where we do the entire first round and cover off what every team needs and who they should draft. While not really knowing my ass from my elbow. Unreal. The best bit, we're going to close out today with a brand new Jingles HR. Awesome. All right, let's get to it. It's NBA Strayer episode 307. Let's go. The worst of
this. This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. Or you better watch out for the crossing of your T's and dotting of your I's if you're Rob Pelinka and the Lakers, hey? Wow, that's right. We're going to start today's show with the daily whip round. It's the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. And boy, wowee. The Lakers may have gotten themselves into a bit of a spurt of bother because it's been reported that after the Anthony Davis trade, everyone's like, oh, hunky-dory, we've got Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Got two of the top 10 players in the NBA. What could possibly go wrong? We're going to add a third. And then everyone went, hey, Rob Pelinka, GM of the Lakers. You do realize that you can't actually afford a third player because of the timing of the trade. And Rob Pelinka's like, what's that now? Huh? Fuck. That's right. So it was reported today that now the Lakers are out there offering the contracts of Mo Wagner, Jamario Jones, and Isaac Bonga to other teams around the NBA to make this a three-team deal. So the Lakers can basically get enough under the cap to create $32 million in cap space. Basically, it's so that they can operate as an over-cap team and send the three players to a different team, basically. And basically get the Lakers a $32 million worth of cap room. Absolutely crazy. The thing is, on top of that for the Lakers, apparently they're now pursuing second round picks to buy in the NBA draft. Remember, the going rate for those can be anywhere up to $3 million a pop, right? That's what Golden State paid the Chicago Bulls for Jordan Bell a couple of years back. It's pretty interesting because literally this is the only way the Lakers can really fill out their roster that isn't veteran minimum dudes. But also, it's so they can go past the salary cap and add stuff to those minimum contracts at the end and get there eventually. So, wow, the Lakers. You think it's all done and dusted, but nope. Now they're having to get rid of their number one pick from last year, Mo Wagner, and a bunch of other stuff just so they can even have a shot at signing somebody else. Everything seems to be going hunky fucking Dory! over there in Lakerland. And nothing makes me happier. Oh, except for maybe the Boston Celtics suddenly being thrown into turmoil. That's right. Al Horford, average Al Horford. Might be Dunsky and Boston kid. Dude, you see that Sal Horford news, dude? He doesn't want to be here. I say, fuck him, dude. Anyway, nice one, Al Horford. So Steve Buford of the Boston Herald said that per source close to Horford, his side is no longer discussing a new three-year deal to stay with the Celtics. He's expected to sign a four-year free agent contract elsewhere, which is pretty interesting. So apparently, according to Himmelbash, that's right, Adam Himmelbash, the Celtics have been aware of Horford's interest in signing elsewhere for a few days, but they've not given up on hope of trying to convince him to stay, which is pretty interesting. Because then Mark Stein went out and reported that the belief making the front office rounds tonight is that Al Horford already knows there's a four-year contract worth in excess. Get you what you need. What you need. Oh, yeah. In excess. Michael Hutchins. Stay away from doorknobs. Is waiting out there. In excess of $100 million. Four-year contract waiting out there for him on June 30. So average Al Horford out there. Absolutely smashing it. Good on him. So that's why the Celtics and Horford are like, we seem to be a little far away apart here, Al. And Al's like, are you going to give me $100 million over the next 4 years? They're like, well, no. He's like, well, see ya. Also, I kind of think Al was like, hey, man, I'm Dominican. They shot Big Papa. He was a Boston legend. I don't want to be next. I'll see you guys later. I'm going to go fucking play for, like, Orlando. They're pretty chill down there, man. Like, there's a lot of golf courses. Fucking Disney World's right there. I mean, all you guys have got is fucking Fenway Park and drunk white assholes. So, yeah, nice, good stuff. But anyway, look, Boston mates of mine are just losing their fucking minds because suddenly they don't look like they've got Kyrie. Suddenly it looks like they don't have Al Horford. And they don't really have much in the way of cap space to replace those guys. So they're going to be stuck with goddamn one-legged Gordon Hayward and the rich man's Harrison Barnes in old mate Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who they didn't trade for Kawhi Leonard. So, yeah, everything's going peachy in Boston and LA, clearly. Other news, Kyrie. It is looking even more likely that Kyrie Irving is going to sign with the Brooklyn Nets on June 30, according to multiple league sources, which is pretty funny. I mean, good on him. That clearly obviously leaves D'Angelo Russell out in the cold. And I've still got my reserves about Kyrie over there because, what's gone wrong when you put Kyrie Irving with a young up-and-coming team? Oh, the last 2 years? Oh, and all the years that he was on the Cavs before LeBron got there? Interesting stuff. Anyway, we'll talk about Kyrie obviously a lot in the next couple of weeks, no doubt. What about his old teammate, Kevin Love? That's right, man. Apparently, it's floating out there. The Atlanta Hawks are in deep talks with the Cavs to send number 10 and 17 to Cleveland for number 5, right? Well, that's pretty interesting. There could also be a deal there that expands to include Kevin Love, but it's not there yet. That's pretty cool. Good on you, Kevin Love. Good on you, Atlanta. Don't know about the fit. But how hard do you think the Boston are right now trying to get involved in the Kevin Love sweepstakes? Air quotes, sweepstakes with, number 14, 20, and 22. They would do that in a fucking heartbeat. A, he's a pretty good basketball player, but B, I mean, he suits Boston down to a pretty much a T, doesn't he? Leave that one there for you to pick up. He's white! Yeah, you nailed it. Jesus. Boston, they're all about that, aren't they? Fucking hell. Anyway, Kevin Love on Boston, it feels like it's been like written in the fucking stars for years. If that eventually happens, it'd be pretty funny. So we've also got some Houston drama. That's right, the Houston Rockets. Apparently Chris Paul and James Harden fucking hate each other. What? Vince Goodwill reported that the veterans' relationship, Chris Paul and James Harden, has been called unsalvageable. Apparently they went 2 fucking months without speaking to each other. What? 2 months? Apart from what, yelling at each other on a basketball court? That seems unreal, doesn't it? Anyway, apparently they didn't talk for 2 months during the season. They can't stand each other. CP3, apparently they demanded that they trade Harden and basically said him or me to Houston Rockets management, according to Vince Goodwill's report, again with the air quotes, and it can't be fixed, this relationship. Well, Houston Rockets GM Daryl Morey had to come out and flatly deny all of it, which is obviously what he has to do to get any leverage back in this situation. And everybody else is pointing out that, Daryl, you have zero leverage anyway because there's still $120 million on Chris Paul's contract, and he can't run down the fucking floor without getting hurt. Where's your leverage? So it was actually reported that thoroughly exasperated Daryl Morey had to come out and say that Chris Paul and his reps have never asked to trade him and he'll be on the Rockets next season. Yeah, no shit, because you have to pay him $40 million. Anyway, it said that Chris Paul and Harden do not have any issues with one another, and he's spoken to both often this offseason about the free agency evaluations and plans for the team. He also gave an example. He said that Harden and Paul were both on FaceTime with him as they discussed 50 free agents together. Said he'd spoken to both players quite a few times with no indications that either have changed their stance. Ah, but really? Do you believe that? I don't know, man. I feel like the reports of like interpersonal discord, where there's smoke, there's usually some sort of fire, right? And to be fair, it might be just like Chris Paul going, fuck this guy, I'm sick of his shit and not playing any defense. But I mean, the big question is, doesn't this mean we now get no more shitty best pals, fake best pals insurance commercials? State Farm agents, Chris Paul and James Harden. Come on, man. I love those commercials because we get to see how much of a fucking boring dunce James Harden is. Oh, look, I don't have a personality, but I've got a beard. Yeah, thanks, James. Fuck off. Yeah, that could also be applied to me. Hey, you know what's also really dumb? Growing a fucking beard when you've got like a 5.5 month old. Jesus fucking Christ, man. My face is killing me. The squid just keeps like grabbing it and just ripping. And I'm like, ugh. It's cold out. I'm going to grow a beard. I haven't shaved since he was born. And now I'm fucking paying the price. Jesus. I have to tell old mate, you know. What was more painful? Labor or what I have to sit through every fucking day? Seriously, I don't know how they got fucking such incredible strong little grip on him. For 5.5 month old, it was like a fucking vice grip. Just grabs a hold, both hands, and just yanks. Jesus Christ. What's worse, being kicked in the balls or that? Probably being kicked in the balls, but still. Anyway, just wait till he grows a beard and I can fucking grab it off him. All right, anyway, moving on. Houston drama, it's all there. And a couple bit of extra bits of news. Harrison Barnes, that's right. The poor man's Jason Tatum or the rich man's Jason Tatum. Who knows? He's declined his $25 million player option, which seems, I don't know, optimistic? Like, who the fuck out there is going to pay Harrison Barnes more than $25 million a year? Like, he was already on Sacramento. They're probably the only team dumb enough to do that. Unless he's, like, out there trying to negotiate, like, an extension or, like, a new contract with them. Like, seriously, who's out there going, Harrison Barnes, he's the missing piece. We'll give him $28 million a year for the next 4 years. Well, I mean, except Washington. Yeah, if Washington aren't run by Messiah, I mean, if they were still run by Ernie Grunfeld, maybe that'd be a Harrison Barnes landing spot. But Jesus, otherwise, that is gross, isn't it? Anyway, so he's an unrestricted free agent. As mentioned, Al Horford is as well because he's declined his option for next year. And Rondé, my sweet Rondé Hollis Jefferson, over there on the Brooklyn Nets, has not been offered a qualifying offer from the Brooklyn Nets where they have the team option on his offering in the qualifying offer so they keep his rights, and they've decided not to do that. So he's unrestricted as well, which, to be fair, kind of makes sense from the Nets because they just got Taurine, the Red Bull Prince from the Atlanta Hawks, in exchange for pick number 17 and to clear up all that cap space that they were presumably going to use on Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. But Rondé, look, I love Rondé because he plays hard. He can do a lot of things. He can guard basically positions 1 through 5 out there. Unfortunately, I can shoot better than him. So that's always been a bit of a problem. And it was actually pretty handily papered over this year. With Jared Dudley and Damari Carroll there in Brooklyn, where you could sort of throw Rondé out there when you needed defensive hustle, but when you needed like a little bit of an offensive explosion, Rondé's not the guy who's going to do it because he can't stretch the floor at all. He had a couple of good games where, you know, run out, transition dunks, had a couple of really good ones. But yeah, without being able to shoot, bit of a cap on his, you know, ceiling there, isn't there? Anyway, so unrestricted as well. Going to be very interested to see where he ends up. I mean, and at what price? Like, he's just a real enigma. So going to show you a lot about this offseason as to how much Rondae Hollis-Jefferson gets paid and by whom. Maybe a Pelicans one. That's a good one. Still young. Trajan Langdon just left the Nets to go down there to hang out with David Griffin. Anyway, also on the inspiring front, we have Ryan Rowdy Brockoff. He's a new dad. That's right. He and his wife, Katie, have welcomed their son, Jackson James Brockoff. Maybe another little Rowdy dropping three bombs everywhere. It's pretty great. He was born yesterday. Rowdy tweeted out, "Mum and baby are doing well. Words can't describe how we feel at the moment." That is absolutely legendary. Welcome to the club, Rowdy. It's pretty great, isn't it? So there you go. Rowdy and Katie Brockoff. The Brockoffs. Onyes. And the final bit of news. Oh, shit. Are you ready? Australia. Oh, it's ballin' season.
It's ballin' season.
Oh, get your merch. Get your merch.
Timo.
Get your merch. Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch. Get your merch.
Oh, that's right. LaMelo Ball and LeVar Ball are coming down under. That's right, man. It's all happening because LaMelo Ball is going to the Illawarra Hawks. And it turns out he pretty struggled. We struggled a fair amount with the phrase Illawarra, but he got there in the end. You just have to work on that, I guess. Anyway, LaMelo was on the jump yesterday, and when he announced that he was going to the Illawarra Hawks, he's going to take his talents to the NBL, to Australia, to the Illawarra Hawks. It says he wants to be the number one pick in the 2020 draft, so he's going to play in a place with two pubs. Nice. Anyway, they also announced that Aaron Brooks, that's right, former Houston Rocket, former Sacramento King, former Indiana Pacer. Where else did he play? Shit ton of places, didn't he? Yeah. Anyway, I love me some Aaron Brooks, and turns out he's going to be on the Illawarra Hawks as well, which is pretty great. So, good job, Illawarra Hawks. Way to go. We're going to talk about this in the unpopular opinion of the day, but there's a lot to talk about. All right, so there you go. That's all the news. You're all caught up. And, you know, we've still got shit tons of trades and everything is going to happen around the draft, but whatever. We'll be back in a second with Yeah and Ahs, and then we'll do our mock draft right after this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Right. This is Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Should I shave my beard so the Weetacker can't fucking try to tear it out of my head? Yeah nah. Nah, I like having my fucking long ass beard. Anyway, let's do it. Yeah nah. Should the Celtics, now that they've seemingly already lost Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, go after D'Angelo Russell? Yeah nah. Nah, come on, man. I think they keep their powder dry for no real reason. That's the Celtics' way. And they'll probably end up spending it on Terry Rozier anyway, right? Like, look, D'Lo, D'Angelo, he was much more mature this year. And he became an all-star. And he was very good in the second half of the year. I did spend a lot of time on this year's program ragging on his shot selection, on his turnovers, on his defense in particular. But he got much better in the second half. And really, to give up on him to go after the shinier, older Kyrie Irving still sort of strikes me as a little bit dumb, right? Like, Kyrie's really fucking good. I get that. He's basically a much better version of D'Angelo. But D'Angelo's real fucking young. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, what's the ceiling of D'Angelo Russell? Like, poor man's James Harden? Poor man's Kyrie Irving? Why not just get Kyrie Irving? Yeah, that just sort of makes a little bit too much sense. But on the Boston flip side, going after D'Angelo Russell, I mean, what? You want another inefficient guard who doesn't play much D? You've already got Terry Rozier. Come on! And for the inefficient part that actually does play D, you've got Marcus Smart. Come on, man. Yeah. So I'm not entirely convinced they need D'Angelo. Still, he's young. He would fit in with the timeline of Tatum and Brown a bit better, but whatever. Up to you, Boston. Speaking of which, are Utah fans? That's right, Jazz fans, crazy for thinking D'Angelo will go / wanting him to go to the Jazz. Apologies, Utah fans. I just said to Boston fans, you've already got a scoring guard who plays no D. It's the same in fucking Utah. They need Mike Conley or Pat Beverly at the very least, not D'Angelo goddamn Russell. He's basically a slightly taller Donovan Mitchell who doesn't score quite as much. Look, and there's also no way D'Lo's going to Salt Lake City. Like, apologies to all my Mormon mates out there, but come on, man. Salt Lake City's nighttime scene and bars aren't, how you say, any good at all. Rough as guts, I'll tell you. Like, it's great for someone like Joe Ingles, who's just like a family man and chill as fuck. And even Donovan Mitchell, who seems like a very fucking well-put-together kid and who's just like, hey, man, I'm cool, I'm chill. Even Rudy Gobert is like, I'm French, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Jesus. But D'Angelo Russell is out there going, you know what was fucking great? Living in New York. It's like, yeah, no shit. For him to then go, Salt Lake City. You can literally see the mountains ringing this goddamn city on two sides. So where the party at? Rough as guts, man. Rough as guts. I feel like he ends up like randomly in like, I don't know, somewhere. Like, he'd be just great in fucking Phoenix, wouldn't he? Yeah, make that happen. But again, talk about scoring guards with playing no D. Jesus. Right there. He and Devin Booker. Maybe like Orlando? They've already got Markel Fultz though. All right, next up. Were those rumors we mentioned last week true? Would Clint Capella make any sense for the Celtics? Yeah, nah. I mean, on paper, he kind of would, right? Now that they're missing Al Horford, but also kind of not. Like, this is what gets me about the whole Al Horford thing. Like, you have a guy who stops Joel Embiid dead in his fucking tracks. He's Joel Embiid kryptonite, basically. And he did a very good job at trying to slow down Giannis Antetokounmpo. And, like, the Sixers and the Bucks are your two main competitors, not named the Toronto Raptors, right, for the next 3 or 4 years. And who knows with the Raptors next year if Kawhi doesn't come back. Shit, it might only be you three. But goddamn, like, Horford spreads the floor for Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. Capella definitely does not do that. Capella's postie, for as tall as he is, it's sketchy and up and down at the best of times. He routinely gets played off the fucking court in the playoffs. You want that guy? Fuck no. But with that all said, would you want to pay a 37-year-old Al Horford over $25 million a year? Yeah, nah. Nah, I'm good. Jesus. Whatever team it is out there that's like going, hey, Al, we'll pay you $100 million. You're 33, right? And he's like, yeah. They're like, all right, 4 years. Can we get a team option on that fourth? And he's like, nah. They're like, fuck. Now we've done it. Jeez. But also, sticking on the Celtics for a second, do Al Horford and Kyrie Irving just really fucking hate Gordon Hayward? I mean, yeah, they kind of got her right with his down low fucking MAGA, Make America Great Again, Trump-supporting dumb white ass, right? Could you imagine being in that locker room going, hey, Gordon, how much did your wife donate to Trump this week? He's like, shut up, guys. It's like, nah, how about fuck you, Gordon? Oh, man, I reckon they just fucking hate Gordon Hayward. And Jason Tatum hates everybody. And he's just like, oh, man, I'm so happy the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup. And everyone's like, fuck, we hate you, Jason. Jesus. Well, look, color me surprised, but Boston falling apart is pretty funny. Yeah, nah, yeah, it is. The Nets to turn around and suddenly have D'Angelo Russell, maybe, perhaps Kyrie Irving, perhaps somebody else on top of that, and to perhaps be better than Boston next year after the absolute torrid shit show that Boston put Brooklyn through the last 5 years would be the single funniest fucking thing ever. And I'm 100% here for it. I'm not even a Brooklyn fan. I'm a Seattle Supersonics fan. But this would be fucking hilarious. Nice one. All right. Back to Houston. Reckon James Harden and Chris Paul actually hate each other? Yeah, nah. Nah, but I think there's a bit of animosity, right? As I said, smoke, fire. I think the smoke is where Chris Paul's always getting fucky about Harden never playing defense, and then Harden getting fucky at Chris Paul because Chris Paul's old as shit and doesn't do anything good anymore. So there's naturally going to be some argy-bargy, hey, right? So a I've got a feeling that like Chris Paul's like trying to sun James Harden a little bit, and Harden's like, dickhead, I'm a fucking MVP. If I'm going to take defense off, I'm going to take defense off. And Chris Paul's like, can you just fucking try? And I don't know. Interesting run for Chris Paul, right? Where everywhere he goes, everyone sort of goes, you know who fucking sucks? Chris Paul. Weird how that works out, isn't it? Speaking of which, does Chris Paul get traded? Yeah, nah. Ain't no one. Not one goddamn team going to trade for that contract. 3 years, $120 million to go? Nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm good. I mean, what team would even think, like Boston, mate, but he's just too old and he doesn't really help you, right? Miami? If it gets them out of like a bunch of their flotsam and jetsam contracts, perhaps. But otherwise, Jesus. Finally flog him to the Lakers. How do we get Pau Gasol and Lamar Odom involved in that trade again? See if Adam Silver negates that. I'm a veto this motherfucker. It's called the David Stern rule. Chris Paul cannot be on the Lakers. All right, final. Yeah, nah. Did Rob Pelinka know that he couldn't sign a max free agent without max cap space because of the cap holds of his draft pick and everything else in this AD trade? Yeah, nah. I mean, nah. Because those were the reports, right? And then he came out and was like trying to foist Wagner, Bonga, and Jamario Jones onto another team in that trade so they can operate as a over the cap team. Like, this was definitely a Pelinka going, wait, I can't what now? Ah, fuck. Could you imagine him going to Jenny Buss's office after all this and going, look, Jenny, we've got a bit of a problem. We're going to have to add Wagner, Bonga, and Jamario Jones. And also, can I have some money to buy some second round picks? She's like, Rob, what the fuck? Rob, you're an agent. How do you not have this shit squared away, you dumber? Or have like some fucking intern being paid like 50K a year? You're the Lakers. Just have some smart fucking mathematician nerd sitting there figuring all this out for you 100% of the time for fucking like a bunch of money. This isn't rocket surgery. Jesus. All right, speaking of rocket surgery, let's get to the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. This was our unpopular opinion on Monday, and it still is today. Look, LaMelo Ball to the NBL is great. It's going to be fine. Just fucking settle down. Jesus, look, I get that it's like bowling season and everything.
It's bowling season.
And we're going to get our merch,
Get your merch,
Wear it.
Get your merch.
But still, I mean, I've heard everyone yelling about how a kid can't play in the NBL and how it's a circus and it's making a mockery of Australian basketball. Settle the fuck down. Look, basketball's entertainment. I get that the Ball family entire thing is like dumb and stupid and like way over the top, and the actual basketballing side of things just gets completely left aside. Lonzo's a fucking spud. LiAngelo, the middle one, everyone's fucking forgotten about that dipshit already. But LaMelo's just out here hanging out. Being the young kid, doesn't know his ass from his elbow. He's going to get thrown into Illawarra. He's going to go play for the NBL. And you know what? Basketball's entertainment. We're going to spend this entire NBL season finding out if LaMelo Ball, who will be 18, can play or not. That's going to be fun. If he can't, that's fun. And he's a fraud, right? And we're like, ah, see, the Balls are fucking idiots. His draft stock's completely busted. He's a moron. His dad's a dickhead. We hate the Balls. But if he can play, well, suddenly we're all like, you know what's fucking cool? The Balls. We've got a 2020 draft prospect in the NBL. He's shredding it. Where do you reckon he's going to go? Top five? How cool is this? Because not only do you have people talking about the NBL in general, like people are asking me questions about the NBL. I'm like, I don't fucking know. I've been to like two NBL games in like the last 10 years. I'm going to go to a shit ton this year, but still. You have people talking about the fucking NBL on ESPN all the time. That's nuts. I mean, shit. How much would everyone be losing their minds about the Hawks signing Aaron Brooks like 3 years ago? Now he's like secondary news. So everyone's like, yeah, the NBL. This is legit. This is fucking great. And if you don't think that's good for basketball in Australia, regardless of how fucking annoying or legendary LaVar Ball is, then I don't know, man. Like, fuck yeah. It's going to be huge. And you know what matters? People paying attention to basketball. That's good. for everybody. It's good for basketball. Yeah, nice one. All right, it's Wednesday at Outback Takehouse. And you know what that means? Walkabout Wednesdays with West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker cooking up some West Sydney Razorback ribs. Only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is... RJ Barrett will be a better NBA player than Zion Williamson and the best player from the 2019 NBA Draft. Only at Outback. Whoa! All right, our completely uninformed mock draft 2.0 and a bit of Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in right after, let's say, this one.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Time for the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. And as usual, we're just going to go to Joe Ingles for some inspiring tweets. And it's absolutely legendary. He had a great one today, a great Instagram post from Jingler about his son. He tweeted out, "Man, I am so proud of this kid. Doctor after doctor, assessment after assessment, and random therapist at the clinic and in our home. From screaming when we dropped him off to now carrying his lunch and happily running inside. The little daily gains make us so happy. It will be a journey, but we will forever have his back and support him with every step. Dad, Mum, and your sister have got your back, buddy. Love heart emoji." And it's a picture of his kid. Jingler. It's inspiring as hell. Absolutely legendary. Even Deli got in there. So did Renee Ingles, Trey Lyles. Forever Deng. Hey, that's Deng Adele. Good stuff, man. That is absolutely awesome. Great job, Jingles. Good job, the entire Ingle clan. All right. Well, are you ready for it? Let's do the 2019 NBA Australia Draft Preview and Mock Draft in the entire first round. Woo! Let's do it. Here comes the commissioner, me, James Clements. Boo! Boo! Ah, fuck off. That was me booing myself. Nah, fuck off. All right, we're going to go through all 30 of the number one picks, first round picks. There we go. Just really going to fly through this because, look, I don't really know my ass from my elbow, especially when we get to pass the late lottery. I'm like, who the fuck is that guy? Oh, yeah, cool. So I've done all my research in pretty much the last week and a half, and I've pretty much just gone with who I like. So let's do the damn thing. Number one, it's going to be the teams and what they need most and then who they pick. So number one, New Orleans, they need Zion Williamson, so they take Zion Williamson. Nice one. Number two, Memphis. They need playmaking. They need star power. And Ja Morant is that. Considering they've already said that they're going to take the guy, I think they're taking him. Number three, the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City. They're going to take the best player from the 2019 NBA draft, RJ Barrett. Apparently they brought in Darius Garland for a workout as well, but I feel like that's just due diligence, isn't it? Just going, we better check to see if that kid's going to be better than RJ or not. I don't know, man. Got some shades of Penny Hardaway from RJ Barrett just on the down low. I reckon that maybe he gets there. If he's 80% of Penny Hardaway, he's a fucking steal. All right, the New Orleans Pelicans again at number four. They just need someone who can shoot next to Zion. And look, the idea would be to take probably DeAndre Hunter there. But fuck it. As I said on Monday's show, take Cam Reddish and get the Duke band back together and make Zion happy, get him hanging out with his mate, duke it up, and then get shooting in free agency, and away we go. Number five, Cleveland. That's right, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cleveland.
They need scoring, talent, more playmaking, literally everything under the sun. Give me Kobe White. Everyone's like, oh, Darius Garland's really talented and he's like explosive and stuff. Yeah, he also shredded his fucking knee. And I need someone I can play next to the sex man, Colin Sexton. Darius Garland, just another version of Colin Sexton. Kobe White is fucking big. And I feel like you can play him next to the sex man and hope for the best with those two, right? Yeah, like that. The Phoenix Suns, they need someone to can play next to Devo Booker. Darius Garland at number six would be a steal, I feel. Look, No one in fucking Phoenix is playing defense anyway. Here we are. Just take Darius Garland and hope for the best, right? If they don't trade it, which they probably will. Number seven, the Chicago Bulls. I mean, look, they kind of need a point guard, but at this point, Darius Garland, Kobe White, Ja Morant, they're all gone. And I feel like any of the other point guards are probably a stretch there at seven. Nikolai Alexander-Walker. Look, Alexander-Walker. Look, just too much of a stretch, I think, at seven. Maybe if they trade back, maybe for Atlanta's 10 and 17, perhaps. Ooh, there you go, maybe. But, I mean, Atlanta have eight, so what do they give a shit about? So, look, I think Chicago take Culver. I think he's Evan Turner meets Caris LeVert, but he's only 6'6", so he's a bit too short for me. But Chicago kind of do need that 2-3 swing guy next to Zachy Cakes Levine, and he can also do a bit of playmaking if you don't like Chris Dunn, which apparently they don't, so yeah, give me that. Number eight, the Atlanta Hawks. Ka-ka! More wing talent. Cam Reddish, if he's there, but if he's gone, whoever's left out of Culver or Hunter. And here, it's DeAndre Hunter. So there you go. You've already got a ready-made Taurine the Red Bull Prince replacement. The draft after you let him go. Well, after you trail him. So, number nine, the Washington Generals / Wizards. They're the Generals at the moment, aren't they? Jesus. Look, they need wings. They've traded all the way, all their young wings. They also need bigs because they've got really not much. But I reckon I'll take a bit of Nasir Little from North Carolina. Wouldn't be surprised if they went the big French fella. Yeah. Sekou Doumbouya right there. But look, give me Nasir Little. I just kind of like him a little bit more in the Washington. I like the fit with Bradley Beal a bit more. So give me that. Number 10, Atlanta. Give me Bol Bol. I said this the other day, but this is the Thon McCur spot. The Thon McCur Memorial. Take a fucking swing at number 10 Memorial slot. Bol Bol, give me that Oregon big man. 7'3 freako nature. Following the footsteps of his big fella Pops. Manute Bol. Yeah, but I don't know. Atlanta probably do something dumb like take Sekou Doumbouya or something, but give me Bol Bol. Swing for the fucking fences, Atlanta. Could you imagine him out there dropping bombs? You got John Collins on the inside. You got Kevin Huerta and Trae Young. Trae Young throwing lobs to Bol Bol. God damn. Hook that to my veins. Minnesota, I haven't changed that from Mondays. Jackson Hayes from Texas. He would be great next to Cat. Cal Anthony Towns. I love that. Charlotte, they need more playmaking, especially if Kemba Walker bounces. So I'm going to take Nickeil Alexander-Walker there at 12 from Virginia Tech. 13, they just need scoring there in Miami. So give me Rui Hachimura from the Zags. I like him a lot in Miami. Boston with Sacramento's pick. I think they take whatever big fella is left that they like. Brandon Clark from Gonzaga I've got there. He's basically a ready-made kind of Al Horford-ishy kind of fill-in-the-gaps big man. So why not? Either that or Sekou Doumbouya. Sekou Doumbouya is probably a little bit talented there to let slip too far, but whatever. Detroit, they need guard / wings. So, look, Tyler Hero or Romeo Langford. Take your pick. I might go Romeo Langford right there. And Orlando, I'll take Tyler Hero because he's the hero they deserve, not who they need, I guess. But Boston would be kicking themselves for not taking Tyler Hero, right? They're like, wow, a white guy who can shoot. At 17, Atlanta, roll the dice, just go whoever the fuck you want. And I've still got Sekou Doumbouya on my big board there, so if I'm Atlanta, I'm taking him there. And if I can walk away with Bol Bol, Sekou Doumbouya, and DeAndre Hunter, that's a great draft for me if I'm Atlanta. The Pacers, they need wings as well, next to Victor Oladipo, and I'll take PJ Washington, thank you very much. Because Wes Matthews is probably gone in free agency. You've already got Domantas Sabonis, the Souvlaki King, and Miles Turner there. You probably need a point guard, but you've also got Aaron Holiday. Look, you'd be fine, I think. Just, you need wings. Wings, wings, wings. So give me PJ Washington for the Pacers. For the San Antonio Spurs, someone who can shoot with a boring name. So that's Cameron Johnson. Right there. Done. Love it. Celtics, they need Mo guard talent. Especially if Kyrie's gone, which he is. Ty Jerome. Might be a bit of a reach for Ty, but I'll take him there at 20. OKC, they need shooting. Keldon Johnson is my guy there for OKC. The Celtics, look, at this point, this is your third pick. Go for the crazy talented one who might be actually just crazy. Kevin Porter Jr. Love it. Get him on the Celtics. He's fucking wild. Let's see if what, you know, mischief he can get up to in Boston there. That'd be fun. The Jazz, look, I feel like they're just going to need a replacement big for Favors. So give me Goga Blutze. That's pretty great. Just following in that fantastic jazz tradition of taking big white European fellas. 24, the Sixers. Look, they either need defensive wings or more scoring and shooting off the bench. I like Carson Edwards as a ball handling shooter there for the Sixers. I feel like he's got a little bit more upside than TJ McConnell, who couldn't even play during the playoffs anyway. But yeah, give me some Carson Edwards. That all just depends on whether or not their plan is to re-sign Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler for a shit ton of money though. 25, the Blazers. They need someone in the backcourt who can play some, a lick of defense and someone on the wing who can score. But look, I'm going to take Tabouli. Guy's great with your falafel. Matisse, I love him. He's great. Great hair. I feel like, look, doesn't score that much, but could shoot from three early in his career. He's like a four-year senior up there in Washington. He'll be a big hit there, no worries. 26, Cleveland Cavaliers. Nicholas Claxton, stretchy big. Why the fuck not? Give it. Give Cleveland, you know, a bit more of a big man presence that's not named Tristan fucking Thompson. And, you know, a ready-made Kevin Love replacement for when you trade him. Brooklyn there at 27, they need a big. They've still got Dizan Musa and Rodion Skurix from last year that they got to put in their wing rotation. So give me Bruno Fernandes, big bruiser behind Jared Allen there for Brooklyn. Golden State, they need a wing. That was pretty fucking obvious. They need a ball-handling wing. You can actually score. Give me Darius Baisley, the guy who didn't go to Syracuse and instead was an intern for New Balance and did nothing but work out the entire year. Give it a shot, Golden State. Why the fuck not? The Spurs, look, this would usually, at 29, this would usually be someone with an unpronounceable name, but I'm going to give them Grant Williams. Just someone who can go out there, be a big, and just get some goddamn rebounds, maybe next to LaMarcus Aldridge. Maybe he can shoot as well. Tennessee big man. And finally, the Bucks. Look, depending on what happens with Nikola Mirotic, hello, and Brook Lopez. How about Mufundu Cabangeli? I love that. Yes. Mufundu Cabangeli. Look, the Bucks have gone great with dudes with wild names. And Mufundu Cabangeli is right up next. I love that. So there you go. That's the entire first round. We're going to check back on that on Friday after the draft and see how we did. Hint. Probably not very good. But this is all a crapshoot. I got a couple of steals that didn't get taken in my first round. Okiki, Chumar Okiki from Auburn. I love him. And Talen Horton-Tucker. I really like him as well. He's built like a brick shithouse. And he's got these long-ass arms. I think he's going to be a definite NBA player. So I'd take Talen Horton-Tucker in a heartbeat. Just depends on what team goes, you know. And to rehash our good dumb bets from Monday's show, Rui Hachimura versus... what is it? Clark, wasn't it? Who goes first? Brandon Clark. I've gone with Rui at $1.87. Bol Bol to go 1 through 13 is at $2.36. So 13 plus is $1.54. I like the 13 plus. Jared Culver to go 1 through 5 is $1.50. I like that too. And Hayes, Jackson Hayes to go 1 to 11 is $1.77. I love that. So get on to that right now. And you know what? Holy shit, that's it. Yeah, that's it for today. We are back Friday with our NBA draft wrap. That's right. We're going to do some probably live videos during the draft. You know, nothing like some morning tins. Oh, geez, watch out. But we're going to be back with winners and losers from the draft. It'll be fun as hell. All that good stuff. So in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Straight on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the socials on the weekend, or during the week. Every, you know, day in, day out is what we do. Get around NBAStray.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, first go to NBAStray.com. Click on the giant Amazon button on the right-hand side. Then go do all your shopping and they kick us a couple of shekels on the back end. Come on, man. We do this, what, 3 days a week at the moment? Hook us up. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone if it's got a rating and review system. Hook us up, man. Helps out heaps. Follow us on Spotify, would you? That's a really good one too. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band though, House Hats. They're the best band in Australia right now, and their debut album, Running Out of Time, is Australia's best album for 2019. I fucking love it. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Nice one. We're going to close out today with Jingles HR as Jingles answers a question. Well, he's got two questions this week. It's going to be pretty bloody good. And yeah, we'll catch you on Friday after the draft because it's my birthday tomorrow and I can't be fucked doing this. So, and you know, unless there's something crazy going on, we've already done the mock draft. What more do you want? So I'll see you on Friday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later. Oh, g'day, you jingler jokers. Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the official HR firm of NBA Australia, answering all your workplace-related questions. Because, yep, when I'm not sinking threes, watching my kitchen rules, taking the kids to watch the missus play netball, or buying more real estate in Paul George's head, I'm the best HR professional you'll find. And nobody knows HR quite like the jingler. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? Oh, and wait. It looks like we've got two of them this week. All right, let's get to them. Dear Joe, no real question because this management thing is pretty easy, hey? So, do you have a recommended coffee I should try? Cheers, David, New Orleans. Oh, he's feeling himself a bit there, David, but anyway. All right, and the second question is, this is all in red and seems pretty panicked. Joe, please help. I have no idea what I'm doing. I keep getting taken advantage of in negotiations, and I don't want to tell anyone because I might get fired. What should I do? Rob, Los Angeles. Oh, geez. That sounds a bit dire, doesn't it? All right, anyway, first off, David, yeah, mate, look, double shot flat white will sort you out, mate. No worries about that. I reckon I could even jack in this HR business and just open up my own coffee place, eh? That's how much I love me coffee. And look, to the, you know, the second question, Rob, mate, I reckon this is the second time you've written in and it sounds like you've just gone and dug yourself even a bigger hole than you were in before. So my advice probably hasn't really changed from a couple of weeks back. If you can't find someone else to blame, get out while you still can. Just like, mate, you know how people always say you get promoted to the point of your incompetence? I think you may have passed that point, hey. So either get out now or go out in a blaze of incompetent glory, you know? Just start doing crazy shit. What are they going to do? Fire? Yeah. If you're going to get fired anyway, who gives a shit? Take the fucking stapler on the way out, you know? I mean, as we say here at Jingles HR, that's someone else's mess to clean up. So there you go. David, double shot flat white. And Rob, pack her up, boys. Either find a patsy to blame your screw up on and insist that everything's going to plan, and move on like nothing has happened, that's just good management, or get the fuck out now. All right. Okay, fellas, hope that helps, and best of luck. I think you're both going to be, look, Rob, think you're going to need it. David, I think you're going to be fine. All right, we'll be back next week on NBA Australia with more Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a dog up, yeah.